Evening, Lord, asking, Lord, for you to come and anoint your word to us, Lord. We may be able to draw life from it, Lord, draw strength from it, draw guidance, help, encouragement. I pray, Lord, you know in the needs of each and every one here tonight, you'll lead and direct and guide us, Lord. We ever give you the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. What I want to speak on tonight is fear not. Fear not. Last Thursday we spoke on fear and faith and the effects that fear has on faith, and that you cannot be overcome with fear and be able to have faith, and how that the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And so tonight we want to look at this creature of fear again. Luke chapter 12, verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations in the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You may be seated. So we see here that summation of what Jesus is saying to the disciples is that God's going to take care of you. He's got everything in control, and he's going to take care of you. Why, if you cannot do the least of these things that he mentioned, he says, then why are you going to take thought for the harder things? You know you can't do them either. You know that everything's in the hands of the Heavenly Father. And he says, neither be ye of doubtful mind. We want to cast all doubt out. And he says, fear not, little flock. Meaning we've got a shepherd over us. One that's looking out for us. The sheep of the shepherd, they don't have to think about where are we going to eat next. The shepherd takes them there. They don't have to think about when are we going to go to the barn? The shepherd takes them there. What field are we going to go to? No, the shepherd sees to all that. And we are sheep, and we've got a shepherd. And yet we allow things of this life many times to overtake us and us get into a state of where we're fretting over things that are actually beyond our control. Some people have a problem with that. They don't like to have things beyond their control. They like to think they're in control of things. It's more of a human tendency. But I'll tell you, you will, at some point in your Christian walk, you will be faced with things that are beyond your control. Not a thing you can do about it. And you can try. I've been there. I've tried. I tried to tip the scales. I tried to turn the situation. And the harder I tried, the more fretting I done. I had to put it in God's hands. Say, God, I don't know how you're going to work this out. It looks really scary. It looks utterly impossible. Looks like the odds are against us. But if you put it in his hands, look, you're his child. That's what he's saying here to the disciples. You're God's children. He's going to take care of you. He'll make sure you have clothes on your back. He'll give you the strength in your body. The jobs you have, God opens the door for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have one. You might say, well, I got a relative. They got me in. Who got him in? Somewhere along the line, you've got to give God credit. God sometimes has somebody in a position or place just so he can turn around and bless you through them or by them. God takes care of his children. The Bible says in Luke 21:26, said this last time, it said men's hearts will be failing for fear. Failing for fear. Fear is something that all of us have to war against. We've, at some point in our Christian walk, we're faced with fear. Whatever it may be. Fear that we won't be able to make it. Or fear that, how many times you ever tried to get a hold of somebody, or you can't find somebody, and the devil comes and whispers to you and say, you missed it, old boy. You missed it. Well, you just call him a liar. Say, I couldn't have missed it. And it couldn't have happened because I'm still here and I ain't about to miss it. Amen, because God promised that he would see us through. He said that the work he started, he'd finish it. God started the work in your life. He's going to finish it. In Exodus, we can read about the story of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And when they came out of Egypt, why, it wasn't long to where Pharaoh decided, why in the world did I let them people go? I'm going to go after them and get them and bring them back. And I'm sure Pharaoh thought, with all of his armies against just defenseless people, that he'd be more than able to do what he set out to do. And the thing was, when the children of Israel looked up and saw the Pharaoh's chariots coming upon them, the Bible said they were sore afraid. Fear gripped them. And when they turned and spoke to Moses, they were speaking out of fear. Why did you bring us out here? Were there not graves enough in Egypt that you brought us out here to die in this wilderness? Everything they were saying to Moses when they cried out, they were saying it out of fear. I've been there times where I've said things out of fear. I've been there sometimes where I reacted to something out of fear. But you'll never accomplish anything that way. You can get yourself all worked up. You won't resolve nothing. You can get mad and stomp your foot and carry on and snort and holler and carry on. It won't change nothing. Only thing that's going to change is your blood pressure. And it's going to affect your heart. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Affects your health. Brother Branham said that in the message about talking about your loved ones. He said, don't get all worried about it. He said, because that's what the devil wants you to do so he can drag your health down. Put it in God's hands. They belong to God. They're going to come. Sometimes they come easy. Sometimes they come hard. But if they belong to God, they're going to come. Moses spoke to him and said, fear not. Just stand still and see the glory of God, the power of the Lord. And Moses then turned and called upon God. And you remember what God said to Moses? Why criest thou to me? Speak to the people that they go forward. Why do you want to cry about something? I know we as adults, you know, we don't necessarily sit around and cry like a little kid. Yet in a way, we do. Bellyache and complain. And it don't resolve nothing. Why cry? Speak. That's what he said to Moses. Why cry? Speak. And he says, lift up your rod over the water. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Now what David said? He said, lift up the rod over the water. And see, the children of Israel will fear because on one side they had the Red Sea, and on the other side they had Pharaoh's army. And they were being squeezed between them. But God allowed them to get to that situation because he said, I want to get me honor upon Pharaoh. There are times when God wants you to get down to a situation and we get so involved in ourselves and thinking everything just revolves around us. But God wants to prove that he's God. He lets us get in tough situations sometimes just so he can prove he's God. He allowed them to get in this tight situation just so he could prove he was God. Just so he could do the impossible. God can't do the impossible if you're sitting around thinking about, well, I think I can do this. Or what should I be doing about this? You know, if God's the one doing it, then how could you be a failure? Because you ain't the one in charge anyhow. He is. I'll tell you this. God wants us to trust him. I said that last Thursday. He wants us to trust him. And if we've got the right kind of love for God, we will trust him. But God don't want you trusting in your own might or your own abilities, what you're able to do. He wants you to trust in him. And he's got to let it sometimes get to where it looks utterly impossible to you, just so he can come around and do something about it and show you that he's God. Let it get real bad. Brother Branham said, when you get to crying and complaining and belly aching, it just makes God want to kick you around a little bit more. That's what he said. He said, I'll get me honor upon Pharaoh, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen, what was he going to do? He was going, Moses told him, fear not. The ones you see today, you'll never see them again. They're all going to die. And God did something that's not possible. To part the waters and let the children walk through on dry ground. Go out and see if you can do that. You can't. Try to part the water sometime. Don't work. But God did it. And he held it back until all the children of Israel got across. And then he held it back until he got Pharaoh and his entire army down there in the Red Sea. And then he let it go and drowned every last one of them. Brother Branham was talking about Moses in the message of, I was reading today, Why Cry Speak? And he said Moses was born for a special purpose. And then he goes on to say, God's got a purpose of you being here. And if you can only get to that place, how much trouble you'll save God and yourself too. Find out what that purpose is God's got you here for. I was listening to a message that I was going back through our website for the church, and I was looking back over some sermons that have been preached here and that, and listening to some different ones. And I listened to one this morning. I was listening to one that I had preached back in 2015. And while I was listening to it, I heard myself on there saying about how I had injured my back. The first time I didn't do anything to injure it. It just disc ruptured. But then the second time, I was out lifting up the fronts of lawnmowers so we could put a block on it so we could change the tire. I was out riding around on the lawnmower up and down the hills and over, inclines and everything else. And I hurt my back. I ruptured a disc again. In this message, I said, remember my dad telling me after that, when he called me up, he didn't say, oh, poor Jerry, so sorry you hurt your back. He said, what are you doing out there doing that stuff? God didn't call you to mow grass. He called you to pastor that church. Find out your purpose. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Your main purpose is to bring glory to God. And your life, in your life, there's going to be some times when it gets hard just so God can get glory out of it. There's going to be some times when God will, like I said, want it to look impossible. And it is impossible for us. But just so he can get glory out of it. In Genesis 15, God speaks to Abram in a vision, and he says, "Fear not, Abram. Fear not. I am thy shield." He's our shield. He's the one. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. You say, "Boy, that devil's really had a go at me." He can't do one thing God doesn't allow him to do. Without God there, think about it. If God wasn't your shield, then you'd really be in a fix. And then he tells him, he says, "I am your shield," and he says, "I am your reward." Don't look for rewards in this life. You're going to get rewarded when you leave this life. Oh, I know we like a feeling of that we've done something, that we've accomplished something. I like mowing grass. Give me some time to think and to get out and do it. And then I always like, after I got it all mowed, I'd go in and I'd take me a shower. And after I got a shower, I'd come back out on the porch and I'd stand out here like this. And I'd look at what I'd done. And I'd feel so good about it. We like that feeling. But you know what? The grass just grew right back up. So all that I thought I'd accomplished was for naught. Because the grass just keeps on growing. Many times you think, "Well, I've accomplished this and I've done that and I've done this." Then all of a sudden, the rug gets pulled out from underneath you. And then it looks like everything you've accomplished is just blew away in the wind. You think, "What in the world now?" Then Satan comes to you and says, "You're a failure. You're a failure. You might as well just quit. Stop. Go do something else." You can't be a failure if God's the one got control of your life. He's our reward. Isaac. Lord appeared unto Isaac and said, "I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee." He's with you. You ain't going through this by yourself. God's there. It's like, you're all familiar with it, and I really like that about the footprints, you know, and when there was two sets of footprints, and then they got down, there was only one set of footprints, and it said, "Well, Lord, why'd you leave me?" So I didn't leave you. I was carrying you. You know, when the shepherd carries, you see, the shepherd spends so much time with them. They grow a bond between the sheep and the shepherd, and these little lambs. And when a shepherd picks up a lamb to carry it, the lamb ain't kicking and fighting and squalling and crying and fussing and carrying on. He just lets the shepherd carry him. And that's what he wants you to do. Not kick and scream and fuss and cry and snort and everything else. He wants you just let him carry you. But sometimes we act like a little kid. Throw a fit. It don't change a thing. Little kid, you know, something don't go their way. Man, they start belly aching and crying. They start crying up a storm because they ain't getting what they want. And I always tell Michael, "You ain't going to change nothing. You can cry all you want. It ain't going to change nothing." I ain't going to change my mind. It takes kids a while before they realize that crying doesn't change things. Sometimes you wonder, how old do they gotta get? Moses spoke to the children of Israel. He said, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. God's give it to you. Don't be discouraged. We allow discouragement to get on us. We become discouraged because something ain't going just exactly right. And we get discouraged. But he said, first of all, fear not. Then he said, and don't be discouraged. Just get up and keep going. Go forward. Go forward. When we first started the church up there in Ohio some years ago, I was, I think, 19 years old. And my father-in-law, many times things would seem like it just wasn't working out for us. You know, something or other, or somebody was going through some kind of discouraging time. My father-in-law would get around me, he would say, go forward. That's what he would always say, go forward. Keep going. Somebody go to complaining and about something, he'd say, go forward. That's what we need to do. To get up and go on. Moses again was speaking to the children of Israel. They knew they were going to come into battle, and the Lord had dealt with him on how he was to speak to the children of Israel, how to encourage them, and what to have done when they were coming to a battle. Because God knew that even though he gave them the land, they were going to have to fight for it. Now, God could have come down through some miraculous way and just totally wiped everybody out, some kind of plague or disease or whatever. But he didn't. Sometimes people don't appreciate things when it just gets handed to them. I've seen it many times. People helping them out, people give them this, people give them that, people give them, and they don't appreciate a thing. I've seen people just walk off and leave the stuff. Ungrateful as all get out. But boy, when you got to work for it, when you're the one that's got to do it, then let's see how you think about it then. And Moses said, and it shall be when you come nigh into battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and shall say to them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. Think about this, what he's saying now. Let not your hearts faint. You ever come all of a sudden you're facing something and it just seems like a sinking feeling happens? You're like, oh man. Not this. He said, don't let your hearts faint when you see him. And he said, don't tremble. Neither be terrified of them. And I like this. He said, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Every time they come into a battle, as long as everything was all right between them and God, God gave them the victory. Now, the thing is, these people of Israel, they weren't highly trained warriors. Their experience, they can make bricks. That's what their experience was. We can make bricks. Can you fight? Well, we can make bricks. So it had to be God to give them the victory into their hands, because they were going up against people that, warriors, men that were trained for fighting. What kind of weapons did the children of Israel have? Whatever weapons they had, they'd had to make them. But God always gave them the victory. You imagine when they came up against these other armies, how those armies must have thought, well, boy, this is going to be a cakewalk. We're gonna slice through them like a hot knife through butter. But it wasn't that way. God was with them. He always gave them the victory. Remember that time with Gideon? When God said, you've got too many. And so he sent some of them home. All you that's kind of faint of heart, go on home. You don't really want to fight anyhow, go on back home. God looked at him, he said, you still got too many. Well, look at it this way. When they started out, the enemy outnumbered them when they started out. But God just kept saying, you've got too many with you. And the reason was because God was going to get the glory out of this victory. And you realize that they never had to even fight. Y'all know the story. They come down there and had a pitcher in their hand. They broke the pitcher and yelled the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they had them surrounded. And they yelled like that and broke those pitchers. When they did, it scared that army so bad, they left everything they had and fled. God wanted them to know, hey, this is me. It ain't what you can do. It's what I've done. Deuteronomy 31:6 said, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with you. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God's not going to fail you. God's not going to let you get into a situation where God says, well, I've done all I'm going to do for them. God's not going to fail you. And he's not going to forsake you. But I've been in times when the Lord will seem like pull his presence back a little bit and let you get to feeling like you're all alone. And you get that sinking feeling. And you feel like, nobody understands. You just don't understand. Sometimes that's an excuse for somebody to carry on the way they're carrying on. Well, you don't understand. God understands. Kick, kick, kick. After Moses had passed, you know, Moses had told them that God was raising up Joshua, and Moses says, I'm not going to be able to go over into the land, but God, Joshua's going to take you. And that's why he was saying he will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Then God come down and talked to Joshua after Moses had passed. And he told Joshua, he said, fear not, neither be dismayed. The word dismayed means distressed. Don't be distressed. Brother Branham says, men's hearts fail them for fear, perplexed times. People get so perplexed. Stress. Stress can cause you to do a lot of things you wouldn't think you'd do. Brother Branham preached a message called Letting Off the Pressure. And there's a right way to let off the pressure. And it ain't snorting, screaming, stomping. It's getting on your knees and talking to the Lord. That's how you can let the pressure off. And I mean, talk to the Lord just like you was talking to, just like you was talking to me. Or talking to your wife or your husband or whoever. Just talking like you was talking to another person. Lord, this is how this has got me feeling. This is the way things is looking to me, Lord. Just talk to him like that. Express how you're feeling to God. If you'll do that, you'll get up feeling differently. You can express how you're feeling to me and it won't change you nothing. Because I ain't God. You can express how you're feeling and we can just wait and see if God says something through me. Well, he's saying something through me tonight. You remember the story of Ruth? You know, and Ruth and Naomi, how that Ruth's husband had died, and her father-in-law died, and her brother-in-law died. It was just her and her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law. And Naomi told him, said, go back to your people. There's nothing I can do for you. And, of course, Ruth says, she's going to go wherever Naomi goes. And she'll rest wherever Naomi rests. And she said, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Whether thou goest, I'll go. And so Ruth went out in the field and she was gleaning. You know what that means? It means all the good stuff had already been taken. And she was just going through what the reapers had missed. They pick up, like if it was grain, you know, they pick up the stalk and see if there's any grain anywhere that the reapers have missed. That's gleaning. Pretty discouraging job, huh? don't know what you're going to end up with. Don't know from one week to the next. Well, it ain't like, you know, where you know you're going to get the same amount each week. You don't know, this time it might be you get a lot, and next time you get just a little. But Naomi instructs Ruth. See, Ruth needs a redeemer. She needs a near kinsman. So Naomi instructs her what to do because Boaz was near kinsman. And you remember how she goes in and she waits till Boaz has went to sleep, and then she lays at his feet. And he wakes up, sees that she's there, asks what she's doing. But then looks into what Boaz tells Ruth. Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. It was Boaz acting a part of Christ. I'm going to do all that thou requirest. And he redeemed. Kinsman redeemer. He redeemed Ruth. Redeemed the land that belonged to Naomi. I'm going to do whatever thou requires. That's the way the Lord is. He's going to do whatever it is you need. That was our text we read. He said, the Lord knows what you need. Remember the story of Elijah. During a time of famine, God spoke to Elijah and told him, says, I've got a little place for you down here that you're going to go. And there, I got a woman down there, and she's going to take care of you during this famine. So Elijah went down there, found the woman, and he told her, said, you bring me a drink. And she, as she turns to go and bring him something to drink, he said, and fetch me a cake also. And she turns back to him and said, now, I've just got enough to make one cake. Me and my son are going to eat it, and then we're going to die. And Elijah says to her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and afterward make for thee and for thy son. Now, she said she only had enough for one cake. And Elijah done told her, make me one first and then go make you one. And then he tells her, he says, the crucible oil will not run dry and the mirrored barrel will not waste. Now she has to, by faith, accept what he's saying. Listen, fear has gripped her because she ain't got nothing left but one cake. That's all she's got between her and starvation. And after they eat it, they're going to starve. But Elijah tells her, now, don't be afraid. There's going to be a cake for you, but make me one first. Then make yourself one. So she had to take what he said, and as she believed what he said, it drove out the fear. And then she was able to go do what he told her. And because she done as she was instructed, God kept all three of them through the famine. She just kept making cakes. Remember the time that there's an enemy army that was looking for Elisha, and they would hear he was in one place, and they would send an army down there to go find him, get him, and they couldn't find him. And here he was in another place, they go down there, and they couldn't find him. Finally, they come across where Elisha was. And his servant went out and saw him. I think it was Syria. And his servant comes in and tells him, he says, "We're in trouble now. They have found us, and they got a whole army out there to get you." And Elisha said, "There's more with us than they are with them." He tells his servant, "Fear not. There's more with us than there are with them." And then Elisha prays and said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." When he opened his eyes, he saw that the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. "Fear not. There's angels around you. God's got angels to watch over you. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord." Hallelujah. And each one of you has got a guardian angel. That means it's personal to you. Daniel one time was praying for an answer. You remember that. And he prayed 21 days. 21 days he kept calling out to God. Can you imagine on day 19, Satan would have been there whispering, "You might as well quit your praying. He ain't listening." Satan knew what was going on all along. See, it was Satan trying to bring discouragement to Daniel. But Daniel didn't get discouraged. He just kept on praying. Day 20, day 21, and then an angel came to him. And he said, "God heard your prayer on day number one." And on day number one, he dispatched me to bring you the word of the Lord. But I was beset by the prince of Persia. And said, Michael and his army had to come down and fight so I could get through. And after I get done talking to you, I got to go back to war, to battle with Michael and his angels. Sometimes it may seem like you keep asking God, asking him and asking him and asking him, and it seems like nothing's happening. But the thing is, friends, there's something happening that's behind the scenes that you can't see. God hears your prayer. God's going to answer your prayer. It may take some time. Brother Branham prayed for couple of women, and God would heal them, and they both lived up the same holler. Y'all remember the story. And they went home, and they was both still sick. And then one day, the one couldn't keep nothing down. So one day, she drank some coffee, and it stayed down. And so she ate a piece of bread, and it stayed down. Then she ate what the kids had left, and that stayed down. Then she realized God had healed her. And she went to go tell the other woman. She got up there, the other woman was screaming and carrying on. God had healed her too. Brother Branham said God had already healed them, but they were just waiting on the angel of God to pass through the neighborhood. God's already took care of your problem. You're just waiting on the angel of God to pass through your neighborhood. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. For heaven's sakes, don't cry. You don't want God kicking you around a little bit more. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Fear not, thou hast found favor with God. You're going to have a son. His name should be called Emmanuel. And then think about Joseph. Joseph was, think about the fear. It would have been gripping Joseph during this time. Here he's got his betrothed, and she's pregnant. And he knows he ain't been with her. And there's, you know, all kinds of things being said. Joseph don't know what to do. He don't know what to make of it. Mary's telling him, I ain't been with nobody. And he's perplexed. And then the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived is of the Holy Ghost. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. What did Joseph do? He took her, took care of her, watched out for her. Till the child was born. Then they had to go run for his life, hide him, because Herod was out to try to kill him. I like this. Remember Zacharias. The angel of the Lord comes to Zacharias and he tells him, fear not, for thy prayer is heard. What was Zacharias praying for? He was praying for a child. And he said, fear not, thy prayer has been heard. And said, Elizabeth's going to conceive and she's going to have a son and you'll call his name John. Zacharias didn't know about this. And he said, we're both old. How in the world are we going to have any children? Well, why was you praying for one in the first place? He was praying for one. Didn't he believe his prayer was going to get heard? And he says, well, the angel tells him, you're going to be speechless. You're going to be dumb until the child's born. And from that day until the day that the child was born, Zacharias couldn't speak. And when the child was born, all of a sudden he could speak. And he said, his name's going to be John, by the way. Sometimes we become astonished at the things God does. Peter became fearful. Remember the time that Jesus had told him, cast out into the deep and let down your nets for the drought? They took in so many fish, they couldn't hardly, their nets couldn't hardly hold them. They had to call for their buddies to come out and help them. Peter come back in and he said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. And the Lord said to him, fear not, for after this, you're going to catch men. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Well, I still got notes. Jesus, I'll try to speed it up a little bit. There was a man by the name of Jairus come to Jesus. His daughter was sick. And he came to Jesus and was asking Jesus to come pray for his daughter. And while he was speaking, there was a man come up and said, it's too late. She's died. Don't bother. Don't trouble the master. And Jesus turns to Jairus and he says, fear not. Believe only. Believe only. In other words, don't let your mind get crowded up with this and that and the other. Don't let these thoughts come and that thoughts. Just center on one thing, believing. Center your mind on one thing, believing. And then Jesus goes down there, and remember he says, she's not dead, she sleeps, and they laughed at him. And so he put all of them out. Only ones that he allowed to go in with him was Peter, James, and John. And after he put all of them out, there was just him, Peter, James, and John, and the mother and father in there with the girl. And Jesus took her by the hand and said, maiden, arise. And she got up. The Bible says that the parents were dismayed. They were astonished. And Jesus instructs them, give them something to eat. Give her something to eat. Jesus was crucified. He died. They asked if they could take his body down. They took and put him in a tomb. And they covered the tomb over with a big rock, big stone. Rolled it in front of the entrance. And a little while later, some of the women went down there. And when they got down there, the stone was rolled away. And they went in and looked, and Jesus wasn't there. And the angel said to him, fear not. I know you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He has arisen as he told you. Go tell his disciples, for he goes ahead to meet you in Galilee. Fear not, because he's not here. I know who you're looking for, but he ain't dead no more. He's arisen like he said he would. Hallelujah. It says to Paul, the angel comes to Paul when Paul, remember, he's on the ship, and the ship is in the eye of the storm. It's in a big storm. And he says, tells Paul, this angel tells Paul, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Fear not. This storm ain't going to stop you. You're going to appear before Caesar. Last scripture. John, on the Isle of Patmos, And John has a vision. In the vision, he sees one like the Son of God. And he falls. He fell down at his feet as a dead man. And the Lord put his hand upon him and said, "Fear not. I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Fear not." Friends, fear will cripple you. Fear will torment you. What I'm telling you tonight is that if you're in God's hands, you don't have anything to fear. It's fear that makes you react the way you react sometimes. It's fear. Recognize it as that. Rebuke the devil. Resist him. Don't give in to him. Resist him, and he'll flee from you. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your words of encouragement. I pray, dear God, that they will take these words to heart, dear Lord. It'll be a help to them in the coming days, the coming hours. Lord, we weren't just here just trying to take up time. Lord, about noon today, I had no idea what I was going to preach. And then the word fear just kept coming to me. And I went home, and I just began to look some things up. And I came across a scripture, "Fear not, little flock." Lord, I know you wanted me to deal with fear tonight. But so the people could be delivered of fear. Fear would not have any power over them. I thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done and said. I ask you to bless your people now tonight. You've blessed them with the word. Now bless them, dear God, as they go. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.